Kia ora, tēnā koutou katoa. Welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 385. Today is Wednesday, June 14th, 2023. This episode is called Wet, Whiny, Inward-Looking Country, because that's what the leader of the opposition, leader of the National Party, Christopher Luxon, called us yesterday, or day before, rather. And it didn't go down well, as you might imagine. What happened is that he was doing some agricultural emissions policy announcement in a town called Helensville, or near a town called Helensville, which is just at the northern reaches of Auckland before Northland really starts. Actually, Nigel and I looked at property in Helensville once upon a time. Anyway, the point of his photo op thing was to announce that the National Party was going to give farmers another 5 years up to 2030 to cut their greenhouse emissions. And it was covered by the news media, as you would expect, because that's what the whole point of it was. And One News, which is TVNZ's news outfit, was probably shooting B-roll or something, but it wasn't in secret. You know, the cameras were, you know, up and pointed at him, so he knew that the cameras were there. And so he was telling a farmer, he said, "We've become a very negative, wet, whiny, inward-looking country, and we've lost the plot. We've got to get our mojo back, a lot more ambition and aspiration." And as it happens, the Prime Minister, Chris Hipkins, held a press conference not long afterwards, and one of the reporters asked him about it. And his response was, "He said that." And then the Prime Minister went on to say something about how, at least this time, Chris Luxon was running down the country inside of New Zealand instead of overseas, which is something he's apparently done before. And a former National Party Prime Minister, John Key, said something similar that was in the context of the COVID restrictions, which, of course, the right and corporate types and so on, didn't want any restrictions. They wanted free travel and all that, and, you know, come what may. And he said that New Zealand was a hermit kingdom. I don't know what it is about these right-wing politicians who feel they've got to run down the country. But the next day, he was asked about it, and he actually said he was actually talking about the Labour Party. Yeah, because clearly that was the context. But he does this sort of thing, this foot-and-mouth thing, all of the time. He keeps saying some really stupid things. A few days earlier, he had an infrastructure event in Christchurch, and he urged people to have more babies. And he said it was a tongue-in-cheek remark, and I actually think I'm sure it was. But the point is, it was a dumb thing to say because, first of all, what's that got to do with infrastructure? But anyway, the thing is, you just don't say that kind of stuff. And he just doesn't seem to be very good at this politics job. But he still could become prime minister anyway because he's got strong support among the loons, goons, and cartoons, at least some of them. And certainly the right is for him, and farmers are for him. Farmers always vote national. So he could end up becoming prime minister after all. It's a bit of a concern, though, because of a lot of reasons I've talked about before. But this is just part of the lunacy that's going on in New Zealand lately. The other day, well, it might have been this week or last week, I can't remember, there was a public meeting in Hamilton about 20-minute cities. And if you haven't heard about that, sometimes it's called a 15-minute city, but the concept is the same. It's an urban planning framework where you try to create areas in which people can live, work, play, shop, go to the doctor, all within a 15 to 20-minute walk or bike ride of where they live. That's the goal. And people used to live like this in the old days. It's hard to remember this nowadays, but before urban sprawl became a thing and before cities abandoned public transport in favor of having to drive everywhere to big malls with thousands of car parks and so on. In the old days, people used to be able to do a lot of that sort of thing, just walk to shops and so on. When I was a little boy, my mother never learned to drive, actually, in her entire life. But when I was a little boy, we used to walk to shops together. And it was probably about a 15 or 20-minute walk. I don't remember where the doctor was because I was quite young. That was probably a drive away. But a lot of the things, even her hairdresser was a short walk away. And so this is not a new concept by any means. But for some reason, the loons, goons, and cartoons, not just here but in the U.S. and other places, have seized on this as it being some sort of an international plot. And the plot is to force people out of their cars and in some cases, they also say that it's part of a plot to create what are essentially prison camps, zones that people cannot leave without government permission or something like that. And this is just all Looney Tunes stuff. Where they're getting this from, I mean, they're getting it from each other, and it becomes this endless feedback loop of weirdness. But there are better things to get really worked up about than sort of esoteric urban planning concepts, I would have thought. But yeah, like, why don't they get all worked up about fluoride in the water or whatever it is? So there was this meeting, and the meeting was packed with loons, goons, and cartoons, including a lot of the people who were part of that whole illegal occupation of Parliament. And at one point, I think it was when the deputy mayor and another councillor decided they better leave because it was not a safe place, one of these people who claimed to be one of these sovereign citizen lunatics decided that he was going to do a citizen's arrest. Well, of course, there is no such thing. You can't arrest somebody because you disagree with them. That's not the way that these things work. And there's no such thing as a sovereign citizen. There never has been. Certainly not in New Zealand, because we don't have the U.S. Constitution and so on. Duh. But even in the U.S., it's not a real thing. People think it is. People are convinced it is, but it's not. And trust me, I know this. This is my field. No, seriously, though. It has nothing to do with New Zealand. And apparently, the counselors who went to the meeting were briefed on whether or not they should go, and they were coached on when to leave, what how to identify when the meeting was turning so they could get out while it was still safe to do so. And there was a column by one of the political reporters, I think it was, and Stuff, talking about how this election is going to be unlike any we've ever seen before, because people will not be able to get as close to politicians as they used to be able to. And I think that's absolutely true. Because even last year during the local government elections, there were public meetings where you could go and meet the people running for city council and mayor and so on. And I thought to myself, there's no way in hell I'm going to one of those because it's going to be packed with loons, goons, and cartoons. And I don't know that they were or not because I don't recall any of them being reported on, but I'm sure they were. Because partly because there were some loons, goons, and cartoons who were on the ballot here in Hamilton that year. And I wanted none of it. And there's certainly no way I'm going to go to a parliamentary campaign meeting event because it's going to be the same thing. It's not going to be safe. And this is a real turning point for us here in New Zealand. Long time ago, on this podcast even, it could be like 15 years ago, I talked about how accessible New Zealand politicians were, that it was easy for an ordinary person to just stand around and chat with the prime minister. I've done it. I have been in the same room with the prime minister. I have chatted with government ministers and various MPs and so on. I've been on a first-name basis with some of them. And not many, to be fair. But still, the point is still the same, that it used to be that our politics was very familiar and very personal. And because of these loons, goons, and cartoons, that's all changing. And it's becoming a much more dangerous and hostile place. And I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it. I don't know what we do about this. I don't know how we fix this. I don't know how we go back to a time when democracy and politeness and kindness and civility and all that sort of stuff was a thing, instead of you're wrong, I hate you, you must die kind of attitude that so many of these loons, goons, and cartoons seem to have. Because many of them do advocate actual physical violence, not necessarily against a specific person, although they certainly did with Jacinda Ardern, but in general, they may say, oh, they all need to be taken out and shot. They'll say that the solution to their problem is they need a bullet kind of thing. And it's just, we've got to find a way forward. Got to find a way forward. That's what I'm trying to say. At the same time, there was another weird incident that's happened. It was discovered that a online editor, editor of online stories for Radio New Zealand, or RNZ as it's known now, which is a government-owned media company, was editing stories that were published on the website to change the wire service stories primarily. They're mostly from Reuters, and also some others, to change them to align with Russian propaganda. These were stories about Ukraine, inserting things that were either irrelevant or not true in many cases. And he also had edited stories about Israel and Palestine to make Israel look bad all the time by taking out relevant context and things like that. He edited stories about China and Japan, mostly to score points against the USA, which he apparently particularly hates, or maybe that's too strong a word because I don't have enough evidence for that. Let's just say that he is anti-American. I think that's a fair statement. And this went on for about 5 years, apparently, with nobody detecting it. He said, anyway, he was changing stories for 5 years. Now, the thing about wire service stories is that, generally speaking, your news outlets are not allowed to edit them at all, except for very minor edits, things to make things clear for local readers who may not understand in international context, like, for instance, changing inches to centimeters or whatever it might be, or miles to kilometers, that sort of thing. That's okay. And very, very minor edits or additional details to clarify a story, whatever, that's okay, but they can't change the gist of it, and they certainly can't reword it to make it say the opposite of what it originally said, which is what this guy was doing. Now, right now, they are combing through 5 years' worth of published stories to try to find out what he's changed, and they've started changing a few of them to indicate what the sorts of things he's done. And I'll put a link to a story that talks about that in the show notes for this one, along with some other things that's been going on, to provide some... That particular article is a good overview of what's going on. But this is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. I've never heard of this kind of thing happening in New Zealand. And I can't actually recall it happening elsewhere either. Maybe it has, and I just haven't heard about it. But it's particularly awful this time because we're not talking just about – this isn't a for-profit media company that had a bad hire. This is the government-owned media company, which – has a reputation for fairness and balance and impartiality, and he ruined that by making it on the side of Russia, and among others. And I don't know what's going to happen to this guy ultimately. I mean, certainly he's right now he's on forced leave. He will absolutely be fired for cause, and he won't have any recourse. He won't be able to, you know, claim unlawful or improper dismissal because he brought it on himself. But the question is, can he be prosecuted for anything? And I don't know. I don't know that he can. The employer probably could sue him for damage to the reputation. I don't know how well that would fly, but this is going to be a developing story, I think, particularly when we find out the extent to which this has happened. And I don't personally recall ever running across one of their stories that seemed weird like that. Actually, what's interesting about it too is that a lot of the things had incredibly bad grammar and mistakes of various sorts. And you would think that if he was a journalist, he wouldn't be making those kinds of mistakes. But who knows? I don't know. But yeah, so we've got all of this weirdness going on in New Zealand at the moment. And from, you know, the leader of the opposition and loons, goons, and cartoons doing their lunacy. And then this guy torpedoing the reputation of RNZ. It's just, it's kind of creepy these days. It really is. But I have some much brighter news on the personal front. Last week, I think it was, I went to my doctor's online portal and requested a prescription renewal because I just received my last shipment of my prescriptions. And I got a message from them that he wanted me to come in and get weighed and my blood pressure measured and also get some blood tests, which he'd organized the blood tests. So I went and got the blood tests on Friday, and I went in on Monday this week, I think it was. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah, that's right, Monday. And I had all those things taken. At the time, I didn't have the blood test results, but my weight, I think, was up about a kilogram from the last time they measured it 3 years ago. And my blood pressure was a bit high, but roughly consistent with what it was 3 years ago. And I do get the white coat syndrome, where my blood pressure reads higher in a clinical setting than it does elsewhere. And here at home, my blood pressure almost always measures within what is a normal range for me at my age. And so they weren't concerned about any of that. They thought, oh, yeah, okay, all good. And the next day, Tuesday, I got a text from the doctor saying that my blood test results were all okay. And as it happens, of course, I'd already started downloading the information, what was available before I went to bed on Monday night. And there's just a little bit more I had to add on Tuesday, yesterday. And I've been tracking my blood test results since 2011, I think. I've got a spreadsheet of all the results I've ever had. And I can see that most things have been fairly consistent for years. Slight fluctuations, but generally within the normal range. Except for my good cholesterol is always way too low. In fact, it's dropped a bit. And one of the liver function results now is considered high, except that they changed the top level of what's considered normal, because it had always been in the normal level, and now all of a sudden it's high. So it's not really a major concern yet at this point anyway. So the gist of all of that is that this was the first time I'd been in my doctor's actual office in 2 years, 2 years and 1 month, to be precise. And I haven't even talked to him literally for a year and a month, a year and 2 months. And we've traded messages through their secure portal, patient portal and stuff like that. But I haven't been sick, obviously. And I haven't gone. And now that I've had all these, you know, routine tests and things done, it shows that I'm actually in relatively decent health, which is always a good thing. But I talked about it on my blog as resetting my gauges, because especially with all of the turmoil around COVID and all that, it's really easy to sort of start to wonder, like, well, how am I really doing? Is there something going on that I don't know about that I haven't detected yet? And, well, so far there doesn't seem to be. And that's a good thing. And that means that I can think to myself, right, so right now things are okay. And I can just concentrate on, you know, the usual healthful things that I should do, as should we all. But at the moment, I'm doing good, which is the important part. Now, this week has been sunny days almost exclusively. And I wanted to get a lot done outside over the course of this week. I haven't gotten as much done as I would have liked, probably. But today I went out to mow the front lawn first, and I also did the edging, you know, the line trimming around the perimeter of the house and also the fence lines, because then I can come back over it and mow it and get a much better look. I had to re-spool the line trimmer yet again. But I was part way through mowing the front lawn, and I thought to myself, I'm pushing myself too hard. I can feel that. And I sure did. I got inside, and I was done. I couldn't do another thing. And it's probably just as well. Because it's winter, the lawns are really wet and heavy, because we get these dews every night, and then it's too cold for it to dry, and there's not enough heat in the sun to dry the lawns, so they just stay really wet. And so it's probably gonna take a full battery to do the back tomorrow, because tomorrow is supposed to be sunny as well, and that's my plan, is to finish the back lawn tomorrow. Yeah, not as much done outside as I would have liked to have gotten done, but I did get things done. And apart from that, I've just been doing a little project around the house. I've been doing a lot of laundry, of things that I haven't gotten around to washing. Not, you know, my own, well, it is technically my own clothes, I guess. It's stuff that I'm planning on giving to the charity shops. But I wanted to, some of it's been sitting out for a while and probably dusty. So I decided I'm going to wash it all. Some things I'm even going to iron before I send it away. And so it was a good opportunity with all the sunshine and free electricity to get all that stuff washed and ready to go. So that's what I've been working on, as well as, you know, usual tidying up and that ongoing little organization project stuff that I've been doing. But that's it from a wet, whiny, inward-looking country. That's it for today. I'll talk to you soon. Kakete ano. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Airman's Podcast at airmanspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can visit and comment on the Amarin's Facebook page, or you can email me, with or without a voice message, at amarins@gmail.com. This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Network and is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.